Welcome to Rough Life. Can you believe it's already the last transport of 2024? This year seems so short and yet so insanely long and grueling. I'm still deciding if I'm going to do an end of the year wrap-up episode, so I don't want to go into too much detail, but I'll just do a quick summary. Y'all know I'm a numbers girl, so let me hit you with some stats. In 2024, we had 22 total transports. We transported a total of 1,066 animals. We averaged 49 animals on each transport. We had 715 puppies, 65 adult dogs, 258 kittens, and 33 adult cats. Compared to 2023, when we had 25 total transports, we transported 1,232 total animals, still averaging 49 animals per transport. We had 828 puppies, 92 adult dogs, 276 kittens, and 40 cats. Now, I want to be disappointed about only moving 1,066 animals this year, but really? We did 3 less transports and we were only short 166 animals compared to last year. We definitely did not move as many adult dogs as we usually do. We're usually somewhere between 90 and 100, but we had several, I mean, just off the top of my head, I can think of 4, several super medically expensive adult dogs this year that we usually don't have to deal with. And we also spayed a lot more this year that stayed with the owners than we usually do. And considering we took all of March, almost all of June, almost all of October, and all of December off, and we still fit in 25 transports, it's really not too shabby. And when you take into consideration what all we've had going on down here outside of our rescue world, it's really a miracle that we did any transports whatsoever. First of all, I was pregnant for 4 of those months with a high-risk, miserable pregnancy. My mother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, started chemo, stopped chemo because it was physically killing her liver, was sent to the hospital for possible acute liver failure. That was this very week. That was like 4 days ago, actually. And yet has gone on no less than 103 vacations this year, although 3 of those were to MD Anderson for tests and treatments, but I'm still counting it because she got a break. And then my stepdad, her husband, was also diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and also needed to go to MD Anderson to start treatment. Jessica's only child got married, which you would think it sounds like a good thing, but it was actually very time consuming for her, which is never a good thing for me and the rescue world. She was also diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and I don't totally understand why, but she has given up all sugar and processed food and basically anything that makes life worth living. So she's a real joy to be around lately. And I had a full-blown baby to add into all the chaos around us. And on the Virginia side, Dr. Burton got divorced, went on sabbatical to Africa, came home, went to Ireland to see Taylor Swift, made a quick stop in London just to look around, made a ton of trips to different states to visit all her friends, and bought a new house. Honestly, if this would have been a normal year, I think we could have hit 3,000 animals. Nevertheless, 1,066 is not too bad, and those are some very, very deserving 1,066 animals. Oh, I forgot this stat. We did euthanize 1, so that is 1,066 transported, 1,065 adopted out, or will be adopted out when their time comes. Our sweet Yorkie newsfeed from the May 31st social media transport had to be euthanized. I don't 100% exactly remember. It's 3 a.m. so I can't call Dr. Burton to confirm, but it was either liver failure or renal failure. She was super, super sick and she was very old. Dr. Burton tried some medicine to alleviate like the pain and the side effects of whatever organ failure she was in, but you could just tell she was really suffering. So Dr. Burton put her down instead of making her endure a long and painful death. But let's get into this transport's background stories. The theme is wicked. And do you ever have like a song or something that immediately takes you back to a time and place? That is the entire Wicked soundtrack for me. When that first note and No One Mourns the Wicked hits, I am instantly taken back to early 2018, late night, living alone with anywhere between 2 and 20 random foster dogs, cleaning my house and singing at the top of my lungs. If you are listening to this and you adopted a dog from us in 2018 or 2019, play the Wicked soundtrack and see if they react. There is a very good possibility that they were my foster, and if they were, they listened to these songs with me every night that they were with me. So anyways, this is a very nostalgic theme for me. I saw it live in Memphis with my mom, and then I saw it twice in Nashville. I would love to take Justin to see it, but we can't afford it now, so he's just going to have to deal with the movie remake. And I know these last few themes have been very niche, so I'll try to do more broad themes next year so everyone can enjoy them. I'm Not That Girl is an owner surrender. She was given to the owners by one of their friends when she was just a couple months old. They are moving and they couldn't take her with them, so they emailed us for help. Nessa Rose and the G Litter of Three are from the same house. They are not litter mates, and to our knowledge, they are not related at all. I guess they could technically be like distant cousins or something, but regardless, not related, but the same lady surrendered them to us. The owner asked us to take them a few days before the November 1st transport, but that transport was full, so we said we would get them on this one. But the night before the November 1st transport, the owner's sister called us and said the puppies were being attacked. I'm not sure by what. It might have been the other adult dogs that live there. And that one had been killed. So Jessica drove by there on her way to work that day and she saw one of the puppies dead in the driveway. So we knew after transport that day we needed to get them into a foster home as soon as possible. Jessica went and got the G litter of three the next morning. Their litter mate was the one that was dead in the driveway. There was another puppy from a second litter that was much older than the G litter of three. Jessica tried to catch it, but it was too quick and it ran off. It was dead a few days later when she went back to try again. There were, obviously, multiple adult dogs in the yard, and the owner would feed them by throwing handfuls of food on the ground, which, of course, made the dogs immediately start attacking each other to get to the food. Nessa Rose was the last surviving puppy of a third litter. All of the other littermates died before the owner even contacted us, and she kept Nessa Rose in the house with her. She said she changed her mind that first day and didn't want to surrender her to Jess when she was there, and since she wasn't doing anything illegal, we couldn't force her to surrender the dog. So Jess just left with the G litter of three. She went back and forth with Jess through text for like the next 5 days. She would tell her, okay, come get it. And then when Jess would be on her way, she would change her mind or wait until Jess got there. And then she'd be like, no, I want to keep it. Or tell her she's never, ever going to surrender it. And then have her sister call and say, okay, she's ready to give it up. The owner was very unstable. Like, very unstable. She admitted multiple times across multiple days that she could not care for the puppy or take care of it in any way. Finally, after going there literally half a dozen times and bringing food for the adult dogs each time, 2 weeks later, she agreed to let Jessica have Nessa Rose. Jessica had the owner's sister meet her there, who is also unstable, but seems very stable compared to the owner. The sister went in the house to get the puppy, and the owner was very loudly and dramatically sobbing. Then she came to the door with the sister, and she gave the puppy to Jessica, signed the surrender form, and things seemed fine. But as Jess was walking to her car, the owner became unhinged. She started screaming at the top of her lungs and cussing at Jess, telling her she had her dog, now leave her alone for good. For the next week straight, the owner harassed Jessica through calls and texts, One minute she would thank her for all of her help, the next she'd be begging for all of the dogs back, and then it would end with her flipping out on Jessica, telling her she never even asked for our help and she doesn't know why we came and stole all of her animals from her. Now, Jessica is far, far more patient and kind of a person than I am, so she spent several days calmly talking to the owner, explaining everything we do for these animals and what wonderful lives they're going to have, and how she understands how hard this decision was, but she's proud of her for doing what was best for the animals. Then after a few days, she took my advice and she basically told her she could pry these animals out of her cold, dead hands, and she blocked her. Now, there are still several adults there. Jessica did take the mama of Nessa Rose on one of her failed trips there to get Nessa Rose. We don't know who the mom of the G litter of three are. And I don't know for sure that Nessa Rose's mom will even make her way to Virginia. We are still testing her out to make sure she's a well-rounded adoptable dog. But the other adults, I honestly don't even know what we're going to do about them yet. First of all, I don't even know that she'll let us do anything. We're still in contact with the sister, and even if they would let us help, it would have to be a, like, TNR, trap, neuter, return thing, because they're basically all feral and untouchable, which, you know, I don't usually shy away from. I love the feral ones. They're usually my favorite. But with how violent these got when they were fighting over the food, and I know, like, that's not fair, they're starving, but it was aggressive. I don't know that I would ever trust them to be around other people's pets and children, so I don't think that I would ever pull them myself. It may be a situation where we network out to other groups and see if anyone else can help, if, like, we more or less just fund it. I don't know. We did give them lots and lots of food, though, for the time being. And again, we are still in touch with the sister, and she knows we want to do something at least. And if this mama ends up not being adoptable, she'll go to our foster barn and live out her life. But so far, she's doing really great. I was skeptical, but she has proved me wrong every test. The E litter of two are our Mastiff pups from early October. I shared their parents' story, the mom and the dad, on the October 12th Halloween costumes episode. So listen to that one if you're up for some Law and Order SVU type stories. It's a doozy. It's a doozy of a story. Anyways, I honestly don't even remember how many puppies were born originally. I think it was like 7 or 8. We're down to 2. I lost count of how many vet visits we made. They were on so many different medications. No one could figure out why they were all dying. And if you remember, the owner said she had never gotten a puppy from this mama ever because they all always died. We still don't really know why they died. But when Dr. Burton spayed the mom a few weeks ago, she said it was one of the most infected uteruses she's ever seen in her whole career. Now, my elementary education degree is telling me that that had something to do with it. Like, they've been infected in utero or something. I don't know. I asked B and she said, could be. So I'm taking that as you're 100% correct, and I can't believe you've cracked this mystery. You're basically a veterinarian. This whole litter had been with our bottle feeder foster since the day they were born. The first one didn't die until it was like 4 days old, but then it was literally like one a day for 5 days that was dying. It was so awful. But our fosters and our veterinarians did everything they could and tried everything they could think of. So it really is a miracle that we ended up with 2 of these still alive. The P litter of 2 have been fostered with the E litter mastiffs at our bottle feeder foster's home for the last 4 weeks. Their mom was killed when they were about 3 weeks old. Another rescue was pulling them, and they did something that I never ever do. They split the litter up and sent them in pairs to multiple different fosters and or rescues. Our foster volunteered to take these two, and then she said she was just going to beg me to take them, but have you seen them? She obviously didn't have to beg me long to take them. The O litter of three are strays. If you saw the video of the two puppies playing with the underwear in the middle of the road and one puppy crawling out of a drain pipe that was posted to our Facebook and our Instagram page, this is that litter. We were told two stories for this litter, so I'm just going to tell you both and you can decide which one is true. Story number one goes that this is a stray mama who wandered up to a house pregnant. She gave birth. The homeowner gave some of them away, but the remaining three just lived in the culvert. Story number two, and this is what I think is actually the case because, well, I'll tell you why. The three puppies were dumped on a dead-end street and they just started taking shelter in the culvert. We never saw the mom, ever, and the people who called us didn't know which home the mom lived in, ever. So we were legally allowed to take these puppies because the culvert was in the caller's yard and they were the ones that had been feeding them for several days. Also, never found out whose underwear that was either, so this was quite the mystery. The Y litter of three are owner surrenders. The owner is a preacher at my stepdad's church. The mom wandered up in their yard and they think, I don't think so, but they think the neighbor's Labradoodle is the dad of the puppies. He is black and the mom is a silver looking lab, so I don't know where these chocolate ones came from. I would love a DNA test on these guys. You know, I usually only give a spay voucher if you surrender the whole litter to me. Well, these were actually a litter of six, and they wanted them to go on the November 1st transport, but again, it was full at the time. And at the time, so was this one, the November 23rd transport, so I couldn't help them. But then I had some cancellations, and they gave three away in the meantime, so I definitely had room for them then. So since they really did mean for me to take all six and they only gave some away because they thought I wasn't going to be able to help them, they're still getting a spay voucher for the mama. Plus, like I said, it's my stepdad's preacher and he has stage 4 cancer. So we're really not in a position to upset the church. We need all the prayers we can get right now. The D litter of four was actually a litter of five. They are owner surrenders. The owner posted on a rescue Facebook page when they were just a few days old saying they needed homes for the pups in a couple weeks. When our rescue partner Hope saw the post and saw how many people were commenting saying they wanted a free puppy right now, she quickly deleted all of those comments and told the owners that not only could she ensure all of the puppies would be fully vetted and be adopted to the very best homes, but that I would also pay to have the mama spayed. So they quickly took her up on the offer. She told them that the puppies needed to stay with the mama until they were at least 6 weeks old, and they agreed to, quote, keep them safe. Their idea of safe and ours are quite different. Little did we know that they were just letting them roam around their property, and then they accidentally backed over one in their driveway. In their defense, they did take it straight to the vet, but the vet did advise them to euthanize it because it was too badly injured. So, after that, Hope said she needed to move them to a foster who would ensure they were actually going to be kept safe. But yes, they did get a spay voucher even though they accidentally killed one of their puppies and I didn't get the whole litter. The M litter of six are owner surrenders. Now, they are from the same home as, but they are probably not related to, but they are from the same home as... the March 1st, 2022 Ozark Tea Litter, the July 19th, 2023 Pasta Sea Litter. There was a ton in that one. There was like 10 or 11 in that one. The October 15th, 2023 Hot Dogs B Litter, the November 11th, 2023 Drinks D Litter, and the February 22nd, 2024 Flowers C Litter. The family contacted our rescue partner the day that this mama had puppies to ask us to put them down on the transport list. They were just dumbfounded as to how she got pregnant because she, quote, never likes any male dogs. So, after explaining how that had absolutely nothing to do with how puppies are conceived, they realized they probably should have gotten her spayed long ago. This family is very, very sweet, though, with huge hearts, and they take in every animal that is dropped off anywhere near them in their neighborhood. They received a spay voucher for this mama, and all of their other dogs are already spayed or neutered by us, so hopefully it's a few more months before they go and find another pregnant stray to bring home. The W litter of 8 were strays. Someone posted on Facebook that they had seen a mama dog dead on the side of the road with 4-week-old puppies near her. After seeing that no one had stopped to get them for 2 days, they decided to help. When they got out to get them, the puppies ran into the nearby woods. They thought there were only 5, but they ended up finding 8 huddled together in a patch of kudzu, brush, and garbage. And this is the end of that story. This is just a side note that has absolutely nothing to do with anything. I'm sure a lot of you don't know what kudzu is, so I'm going to tell you so you can have an irrational fear over it like I do. The like name, it's literally known as the vine that ate the South. It is a super invasive species of plant that was brought over from Japan in the late 1800s as just like a cute indoor plant. But then it was used to help prevent soil erosion in the 1950s, and it has completely taken over the South since then. You know how like most people when they're driving and they pass a pasture with cows, they announce cows to everyone in the car with them. Do y'all even have cows up there? Well, I don't do that. I announce kudzu every time we pass it with a literal tremble in my voice. I am so freaked out by it. It grows 1 foot per day and it can weigh up to 100 pounds. It's this like thick vine that grows on top of everything and then it kills everything underneath it. So when you're driving by and you see kudzu, you know that everything underneath it is dead, and that is so freaky to me. Like, you just have to drive around the South sometime and see how it has overtaken everything down here. It is so scary. Like, I am so scared of it. If I were the one that was trying to catch these puppies and I saw them run into a kudzu forest, I don't know that I would have been brave enough to go in after them. Like, I want to be joking about that, but I am so serious. Look it up. It looks beautiful until you realize it's murdered everything under it. I gotta stop talking about it. I'm getting super worked up. I'm so freaked out by kudzu. Okay. The U litter of 4 are owner surrenders. The owner took their dog to the vet to be spayed, and the vet called them back to let them know she's pregnant. So they were going to find homes for the puppies when they got older and they were weaned, but the mom was hit and killed when they were 4 weeks old. They gave them to our rescue partner, Debbie, and she transitioned them to food and was fostering them until one of the pups, unusually and exceedingly peculiar, that's its name, it got sick. And if you know the song that that's from, you know how hard it was for me to say that name and not sing it. But in all seriousness, we weren't sure if UEP was going to pull through. He was having seizures. We could not figure out why. So we took the whole litter and we sent him to the vet to stay for several days. We really still don't know what was causing them, but he's fine now. Everything came back negative. We think it was because they had such a huge, huge worm load that could have had something to do with it, but we're really not sure. The S litter of 7... So someone who works at a vet clinic that our rescue partners are partnered with was headed home after work one day and saw a cooler sitting on the side of the road that wasn't there when she passed on her way to work. So she stopped to check it out and 7 little faces popped out. As for the kittens, look to the western sky. It's from a feral mama that belongs to one of our fosters. They think there might be 3 other kittens, but they're all living in a hole in the woods behind their house, and she hasn't been able to catch any of the others. We have loaned her our live trap to try and trap the mom, and she has a spay voucher to get her fixed. As long as your mine was a litter of 4 whose mom was killed when they were just a week old, they had some sort of like upper respiratory infection or pneumonia, and 3 of them died before they were even 3 weeks old. Quoxwood trees was actually a litter of 3 that were dumped at a vet's office when they were only like hours old. I mean, like maybe a day, but seriously, they were fresh newborns. Two of them died almost instantly, which is common with super newborn kittens like that, unfortunately, but this one survived. The F letter of two are owner surrenders. Someone asked our bottle feeder foster to take them, but since they were not needing a bottle feeder, she asked if we had another foster that would take them. The owner said that she had had a litter of kittens before these two that were, quote, ripped to shreds by something one night. So she was terrified that that would happen to these two. We took them and we gave her a spay voucher for the mama so she doesn't have to go through this again. The T litter of six are known as the KFC kittens down here. The mom is a stray cat that lives in a feral cat colony behind the KFC in town. One of our partners has been working to TNR all of the kittens and the adults. They trapped the mom and they thought she was just thick from all the fried chicken that the workers feed them, but then she popped out some kittens. So she stayed with her until the kittens were weaned, and she has been spayed in the last day or two, but she's going to stay at her house a little while longer just to fully recover, and then she'll be taken back to KFC to binge eat some chicken again. I bet she is so sick of this dry kibble. The B litter of three are from a rescue we pull from occasionally. Someone left the kittens at their office, but they don't do kittens, so they reached out to us to see if we would take them. There were four originally, but the runt died a day or two after they got them. And that is a wrap on all of the 2024 stories. What an insane year it has been. I feel so bad saying it was a terrible year because I had a baby this year. Like, she's the best. She's the best baby. We love her so much. But honestly, that is part of the reason it has been so terrible of a year. I'm half joking. She really has brought us so much joy. So much, much needed joy. But man, tough year. Like I said, I'm still debating doing an end of the year wrap up episode like I did last year, where we go over all of our favorite polls and the best stories of the year. So let me know in the comments if you were hoping for one. Otherwise, I will see y'all January 4th for our first transport of 2025. Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and happy all the holidays. I am so unbelievably thankful for you, for this community, and for all of the support you give me. None of us could do any of this without you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for loving my baby so much. Truly. Go ahead and subscribe and leave me a 5-star review, please. It's a rough life, but someone's gotta do it.